Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 500 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger, joined this week by Chad Smart. Chad, welcome. I thought it was only appropriate that you be a part of the 500th episode. No big celebration, but we're going to talk, reflect, but also talk about current events and in the world of professional wrestling. But before we get too deep into it, I do want to let people know, because of our schedules this upcoming weekend, we are recording this 6 days in advance. So if something breaking happens on AEW or SmackDown, check out our Facebook page and kind of keep up with maybe some commentary there. But the podcast is being recorded on Tuesday, right before the Monday before the podcast actually drops. So saying all that to say, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I think I've, out of the 500, I think I've listened to one. And I mean, we are recording this early, but I think it's safe to say that on Dynamite on Wednesday, an ambulance will pull into the parking lot and the new Irish superstar, Rick O'Shea, will be All Elite.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because that is one of the talking points I wanted to mention. There were some rumblings a few weeks ago, I guess, that Ricochet was not going to renew his deal with WWE, and I think there may still be an opportunity for that to happen, but it's not looking good. Obviously on Monday Night Raw this past week, he was taken out by Braun Breaker, which there was speculation that that was going to happen. I saw some smart ass tweeter put out there, or
expert. I don't tweet about wrestling.
He said something about, I guess I'll have to sit here and just patiently wait for Ricochet to be taken, or, you know, the Braun Breaker Ricochet thing to happen, like right before the Braun Breaker match started. And then all of a sudden Ricochet pops out, and then the guy pretty much ate crow and did end up, you know, pointing out his mistake and said he tweeted too early. But anyway, I guess number one, are you surprised, disappointed? What are your thoughts? And I know you don't get too emotionally wrapped up in wrestling angles or celebrity in general. Yeah. But, you know, I personally am a Ricochet fan. I saw him wrestle in Cape Girardeau at Cape Championship Wrestling back, I think it was 2016. It was one of their first shows. He wrestled against, Lane Austin. Austin Lane and Lane. It wasn't Lane Austin. It was Austin Lane, not the referee Lane Austin. So I always flip those guys. But anyway,
it's like Keith David and David Keith.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, and I had seen some of his stuff on the indie scene. I did not see him in Lucha Underground, but I like him. But I do think he was missing something. And I don't know if WWE dropped the ball on him. He seemed bigger in NXT, which I think that happens a lot. We've talked about that before on the podcast. But what are your thoughts on Ricochet most likely leaving the company?
Well, you know, I'm going to wrap this up into the bigger focal or bigger gossip, I guess, is that in addition to Ricochet, allegedly, and again, I'm using the word allegedly because you and I don't know anything that's going on behind the scenes at WWE. So take this all with a grain of salt, but allegedly Chad Gable's contract is up for renewal soon as well. And he hasn't re-signed yet. Becky Lynch, her deal just ended. She hasn't re-signed. There may be a couple others. You know, is this, you know, if it was, this was the other way around, where it's a bunch of AEW people contract expiring and all of a sudden they showed up in WWE, you know, the internet, I think, would be aflame with, oh my gosh, sky falling, AEW is going out of business type deal. Me personally, I mean, as long as you don't get like 50% of the rosters jumping and basically becoming the same company and, you know, under different letters, I think it's the best thing. I mean, you and I have talked about before about like somebody like The Miz, who has been in WWE for close to 20 years. I think he would have been better suited to leave, come back. You know, you can look at your Drew McIntyre's, your Cody Rhodes, your, you know, people who go out, have a chance to wrestle under a different style and learn different skill sets. And then, you know, and then there's nothing wrong with coming back later and, you know, being bigger than you were before you left. And I think in the case of Ricochet, I just, you know, I've been a fan of his since he wore a mask and called himself Helios and he had hair. I don't think I ever saw him live in Chikara, but his feud with Chuck Taylor, who unfortunately may be, his career may be over with. So we won't get it. Might not get a Chuck Taylor Ricochet feud reimagined, but I think it's the best thing for Ricochet. I think going to AEW will suit the high flying nature better. And, you know, there were, I guess it was about 10 years ago now, he and Will Ospreay had a match that kind of went viral.
Yeah.
For some negative reasons, but it did lead to the awesome Will Ospreay Vader match, if I remember correctly. And so, you know, but if he goes to AEW, you know, will he be a big star or will he, you know, have a push for about 2 weeks and then end up in the mystery vortex that is the AEW backstage? I don't know. But anyway, to the bigger question, I think it's good for Ricochet because like a Matt Cardona, like a Cody Rhodes, he can go out, do the indie scene, probably make a decent living on the indie scene. And again, he gets to shake off the shackles that the WWE imposed. And not saying that is a bad thing, right, but, you know, just, again, you get a little bit more creative freedom.
He is a Paducah, born and raised. And for folks who know Southern Illinois, know that Paducah is just literally down the interstate from here. And actually, I would use that Paducah tie to justify running stories on the morning news back when I was doing the news about Ricochet, because I think he had won, I don't know if he won what champ, he had won some championship, and I justified it for putting it in our entertainment segment of the news. It helped that the producer at the time was also a wrestling fan. But so, yeah, and I always kind of wanted to get an interview with him or do something with him, and maybe that opportunity may present itself to using that Paducah connection. I can actually pronounce the name of his high school, which is Paducah Tillman, but Tillman is spelled weird. It's got a G-H in there, but I may impress him with that ability to not call it something completely obnoxious. But, you know, he's 35 years old. We've talked about this before as well, especially with AEW. WWE's schedule has changed significantly since COVID, and AEW's is really significantly changed as well. They're not really doing house shows like they were trying to do last summer. So I'm saying that to say that men and women's careers are lasting longer. I know they're taking more risks and high risk moves and some dangerous bumps in the ring, but we're cutting that schedule down significantly where they're not wrestling 200, 300 nights a year. So I think we're going to see more guys have longevity and have to do that jump where they're getting a fresh start and a new look and come back and maybe be a more serious contender. Not that I think there was ever anything wrong with Ricochet before that, but he obviously didn't catch someone's eye the right way, but someone's eye he did catch is Samantha Irwin, who is his fiancée. There is speculation already running rampant that, you know, she's going to bail once her deal is up too. What are your thoughts? We haven't talked about Samantha Irwin. And I don't think we've even talked about her, you know, in our little TikTok or not TikTok, our Snapchats and text conversations. I know she has drawn criticism from some and she's highly acclaimed and highly praised by others. I'll save my thoughts on her, but I want to get your thoughts. And is there a fit for her in AEW in the current role that she is as a ring announcer?
Yeah, I mean, generally don't really have an opinion of her. I I know the pros and the cons that you speak of of the online reception. I think the only name pronunciation that kind of annoys me, and I think it's supposed to, is Chelsea Green.
See, I love, and that's what I love about her.
Yeah, I did. That was just a little too screechy and annoying for me. We always have talked about referees shouldn't be a focal point of a match.
Sure.
I feel the same way with announcers. You know, you're there to announce, I mean, you're there to hype up a crowd, but you don't necessarily need to make it about yourself. And I don't think she does that, but she is, I mean, I guess, you know, you could say like Justin Roberts in AEW, Lillian Garcia, all became memorable for their ring induction, you know, introductions. But yeah, I don't see her having a place in current AEW, given the amount of backstage people that they have and ringing out, you know, they have Justin Roberts as their lead announcer or in ringing whatever position it's actually called. But, you know, I think as long as the Vince McMahon mentality is gone, which would be to humiliate her just to punish her because she's with Ricochet, if he leaves, you know, if he leaves the company, mm-hmm. as long as that attitude's gone, and as long as she and Ricochet have a good balance of being able to see each other, I don't see her leaving, but again, I don't know what their plans are for the future or what right. they, you know, they want to do. So,
well, and we've seen it with, you know, there are other couples, Aleister or Malachi Black is married to Zelina Vega, who's back in WWE. We saw it briefly with Moxley and Renee Paquette. Is that how you say her name?
Paquette. Paquette, yeah.
Charlotte and Andrade for a while, but he's back obviously in WWE.
He is? So
it is possible. Yeah, he's the new speed champion, speaking of Ricochet.
The what?
What?
The what?
Speed champion? Are you being sarcastic?
Is that the guy that came out with Logan Paul? Speed?
I need my Gorilla Mind. Will you stop? But I, you know, I like Samantha Irwin. Why do I keep saying Irvin? I don't know why. I want to ask you this, though, because I watch most of my consumption now until WWE gets on Netflix is just through social media posts. And so a lot of times on TikTok or on Instagram, they will have a camera on her at ringside announcing the winner. And I think that that's where some of the criticism came in, is the emotion she showed with Cody Rhodes, for example, and some of those aspects of it, which I understand. I get that. Doesn't bother me. But I'm wondering, when you're watching the actual telecast, and I know she's on SmackDown now, and I will watch and look and see, but or maybe she's on Raw still, and Chelsea Green went to SmackDown. That's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, are they showing that tight shot of her ringside on TV, or is that just a social media post, and people on social media are reacting to that and feeling like they're getting too much of her in that regard? Because I understand both sides of it, and if they are cutting specifically to her just to make the announcement on TV, I could get where people would find that a little bit too involved, but I've not noticed anything to the contrary. What do you notice when you're watching it?
I noticed that my time at work is almost up, and so I'm going to go leave and do something else. I can't recall a time where I've seen her on camera during a show.
Okay.
So, you know, and the same way there's a camera on Michael Cole and Pat McAfee that then I've seen pop up on social media or on YouTube. And I don't know if that's a WWE camera or if they're recording themselves. And so that same way with Samantha Irwin, you know, these clips that I see, are they, I didn't really pay attention to see if they're like a WWE camera person focused on them or someone in the crowd who's recorded her and posted it to show. So I don't think it's a on-camera thing. I think it is a just for engagement type purposes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What's going on with AEW? You know, we last time we talked on this podcast, you had just been to Vegas for the pay-per-view. I know they're gearing up for Forbidden Door. Do you think, and I know there's been some cynicism, and I think we talked about this even on the podcast with Jordan Grace wrestling recently on WWE NXT. You know, she ended up losing that match, and I didn't expect she was going to go on there and win, but I don't think it made her look bad either. She looked good in the process, and hopefully this opens up other opportunities for other TNA wrestlers to be a part of WWE. Do you ever foresee an opportunity, because Tony Khan, you know, coined that Forbidden Door phrase, is his animosity to, because I think he does have animosity towards WWE, would that supersede working or having any kind of relationship to do anything? Do you think Triple H and what's the name of the company now?
TKO.
Would they open that opportunity up, you think, to do a match or an event or a pay-per-view or a show with WWE?
Well, I think the saying is, you know, if there's money to be made, you'd be a fool not to. AEW has somehow worked deals so that AAA wrestlers and CMLL wrestlers, which are the two big promotions in Mexico, their wrestlers can be on the same show now, where before they could only do like one, you know, like have AAA guys on the Dynamite episode and then CMLL on Collision. But now they can work the same episodes. And I think at Forbidden Door, you'll have, I don't know if they'll be in the same match, but, you know, they'll at least be on the same show. So, as we've seen in the last year, never say never in wrestling. I don't see it happening in, say, the next year, but I could see it somewhere down the line, possibly. And again, the animosity, you know, is it legit or is it political theater? Mm-hmm. That's what you decide. Now, speaking of TNA, though, you know, I've seen a lot of online YouTubers and social media posts about this AJ Styles retirement, fake retirement, and how, you know, if he can't win the title off of Cody, then he'll go back to TNA and win their title. And like this deal. And I'm like, to me, that would seem like a step backwards. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yes, TNA is the company that AJ built. And, you know, he's a multi-time champion. I don't think that would be, if you're going to do that, I would rather see it with someone else. But unless they're going to do a TNA invasion and you realize that AJ has just been for the last 7 years plotting this, and, you know, like Hogan was in WCW for 4 years, 5 years, however long it was, three, two, somewhere in there, one of those numbers.
It was two, but yes.
Two. I mean, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting. I had not seen that. I hadn't heard that. I wonder if that, on the surface, when you said that, that made me instantly think he's not good enough for the WWE Championship, but he's good enough for the TNA Championship.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of fans would probably follow suit with that mindset. But if you were to do that, I would almost rather see, you know, a contender in TNA fail at winning the TNA Championship and then come into WWE and get the opportunity and win it. But again, and I was going to kind of head down a course of questions with this is, you know, I'm assuming the main reason why we haven't seen more of these collaboratives, because when we were kids, there would be times where, or right before we started watching wrestling, you might see Dusty Rhodes wrestling against the WWF champion at MSG. I think he wrestled Superstar Billy Graham, or, you know, Pedro Morales would wrestle against Harley Race. You would see these kinds of matches when both men were champions of their respective companies. And those might not be the exact matches, but the point is the WWF champion and the NWA champion were wrestling each other in our lifetime. And then that obviously all went away. And I think that part of it is, or most of it probably is ego, because they would always book these matches and then they would end in a double count out or a double disqualification or whatever. And I think fans eventually grow tired of that. Yeah. You know, you do a big super show nowadays, or even back in the day, you know, if you would have had Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan under the WCW banner and the WWF banners, who's going to do the job? Well, they're not, you know, and so yeah. I think that unfortunately becomes part of it too, is because it's like you said, if there's money to be made, and I think there's a lot of money to be made in those kinds of matchups, but for whatever reason, egos or whatever the case may be, it's never been allowed. And I am a little surprised. I would have been more surprised if Jordynne Grace would have won the NXT Women's Championship than, you know, than what actually ended up going down. But I don't think it would have hurt anything to have her win it. But I don't know what the goal and the relationship and what the end game is for this partnership, if it's going to last a year, if it's going to last 6 months, because I know TNA and AEW had a little bit of a partnership going on, and then that kind of just went away. So, but I think it's good for everyone, including the fans, to get exposure and see Jordynne Grace and see some of these other, there's rumors of Moose coming in and others. So I think it's a good thing for the business.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of surprised that Jordynne Grace didn't win, because I felt that, again, if you're going to bring someone in, it seemed logical to have them win. And then you do a little program. Whereas now that she's come in, lost, where do you go from there? Yeah. And that's why fans will have to tune into NXT and find out what happens. And you know, I don't know how much the fact that TNA tapes, I think they tape on a monthly schedule, so they're not live every week. So trying to do something and stay current, if that would hinder storylines in any way, or you know, but yeah, I mean, the match that NXT Battleground between Jordynne Grace and Roxanne Perez was a good match, probably match of the night, but having the interference come in at the end, which was interesting because Ash by Elegance, formerly known as Dana Brooke, coming in, I mean, it led to, okay, here's another TNA personality coming in that has WWE connections. But again, why was she there? You know, why was she backstage? Right. You know, in terms of logical reasoning. And also, I think, like you mentioned, the double DQ, it just, you know, it's the interference kind of was a way to save face.
Yeah.
And so instead of just having your champion get beat. But yeah, I think, as you said, you know, politics, and because even I think with AEW's relationship with New Japan, there's oftentimes like, or I know when New Japan, when AJ Styles was New Japan champion, he wrestled for PWG in their battle in Los Angeles. And I think he lost by count out or disqualification, something that very rarely happened in PWG. And it was because he couldn't lose. He couldn't be pinned or submitted because he was at the end of New Japan champion. And so, you know, so you run into those situations too. I mean, on the last AEW pay-per-view, John Moxley defeated Kenosuke Takeshita. I cannot pronounce Japanese names, but it was a non-title match. So everyone thought, oh, you have Takeshita win, so that then that you can have the rematch at Forbidden Door. But Moxley won for some unknown reason. Storyline-wise, it didn't make sense for him to have to win the match. So, but it's probably all due to politics.
Now, did they refer to Ash by Elegance by name, or did the, I know she was out there, and I didn't hear them say Dana Brooke or Ash by Elegance, so I wasn't sure.
My recollection is it was, that's Dana, Ash by Elegance, and I don't know if the slip up was intentional or.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And that's going to be another interesting aspect of this, is if they do end up using Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, you know, how will they refer to some of these other players as they make, you know, their appearances? If it even happens, it may not happen. Yeah. Brian Myers, for example, another one, you know, will he be Kurt Hawkins again? Or,
yeah, I mean, I think it would be funny if it's only ex-WWE guys that show up, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, hopefully it gets more eyes on TNA. I'm not a regular watcher, but hopefully it's good for them, because again, better business all around is better for everyone.
Absolutely. You know, high tides raise all ships. And so hopefully fans will enjoy that, enjoy AEW, enjoy New Japan, Ring of Honor, whatever it is that they're into and able to watch. Now,
South Ugandan wrestling.
What's that?
I was trying to think, what's the name of the Ugandan wrestling, soft ground wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I did. That's some interesting stuff going on there, too. So yeah.
I know Cody Rhodes just bought him a ring. So.
Oh, okay. I saw a picture of Cody in a split, but I didn't read the article.
Yeah, he's offered to buy them a ring, and they're trying to figure out how to get it over there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So it is episode 500, so I do want to get a little nostalgic and a little talk about some things that we've done here on the podcast over the last almost 10 years. The show started in December of 2014, Greg Mahochko, and I do want to express gratitude to Greg Mahochko for inviting me to bring the podcast, to bring my 1-2-3 cents to the platform. Before that, Chad and I had been writing blogs at my123cents.com. I had done a lot of YouTube videos. Chad, when he was in town, would do some YouTube videos. This is before Skype was around, but this was before Zoom and some of the technological changes that have happened over the last 10 years. So, I would record and record it on my iPad and then send that file to Greg, and then he would upload it and I'd send him what to write about it. This was before Mondo the Monkey was around, so Greg, when he extended the invitation, Jittery Monkey already had a wrestling podcast, but they weren't doing much with it. And I don't even remember what it was called, but Greg, when he offered me the spot, he had said, do you want to just carry on with the podcast that we already have? And I said, no, I really would like, because I was still trying to grow my 1-2-3 cents. So to me, it made sense to do podcasts under the same name. And so he agreed. But yeah, 500 episodes, 501 if you count the bonus episode. And that first episode was a review or a preview of TLC and, talking about those kinds of things and NXT TakeOver. I'm just looking at my notes. I wrote everything out by hand. We had Neville versus Sami Zayn, Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. CM Punk had just gone or was going to the UFC. So Punk is gone. AEW is not even a thing in 2014 when this podcast started. So a lot has changed technologically and then in the world of professional wrestling.
Punk's still gone.
Yeah, Punk is still gone. but we've had, a lot of memories and I like doing the podcast where we sit and just kind of shoot the shit and talk about things, have the topics, the countdowns. Listening to this podcast is open up to other podcasts, and we've made friends with guys like Jason and Tom Skull from the Skullbuster, originally the Skullbuster podcast. Now it's Who's to Say with Tom and Jay. Tom and Jim's top five. You would listen to other podcasts and then send me those recommendations. And I was trying to think back to when I started listening to podcasts, and I think Colt Cabana was probably the first for me. And I think he might have been talking about Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. And you were telling me about it, and that's what kind of got me starting to listen to podcasts in the first place.
I mean Colt obviously is the biggest, I think, wrestling podcast, or at least the grandfather, so he gets the legacy award. I didn't really start listening to podcasts until about 2017 when I took an office job and needed something to fill the 8 hours of staring at a computer monitor. And I remember discovering the Podzilla podcast and then finding out they're from Cape Girardeau. And I'm like, oh, have you heard of these guys? And like, yeah, I think they show up at Stride shows every so often, and a bunch of dorks and nerds.
I did not say that.
But
only about Dalton.
But yeah, no. So, that was interesting. And then unfortunately, after COVID, after starting working from home, I started watching TV more than listening to podcasts. So my podcast listening has greatly diminished.
But
those are, I don't know, I mean, I'm surprised, that's going to sound bad, that this lasted 500 episodes. I thought by now we'd have hologram shows that we could be doing. Podcast would have moved on to the next step up. But,
and I'm curious because, I do hear people in even at work, just in the past, I don't know, 9 months, started a podcast for work, with the college that I work at. And I do wonder, and I think, what is next, because podcasts have been around for a long enough time. And, you know, until recently, that's all I listened to in the car. I now carpool with someone. I have a friend that got a job where I work. And so we carpool. And so she doesn't like wrestling. And so I'm not going to, 99% of the podcasts I listen to are wrestling. So I find other times to listen now and listen on, you know, a faster speed so I can get them all in. Because, you know, I do like the Conrad brand of podcast and, you know, doing the things that he does and kind of evolving his, you know, I'm a small town guy. It's a small town podcast. It is, you know, if in the first week it gets 50 listens, that's a lot. And it takes time to build it up. And I went back and looked at some, and there are some episodes that have over 1,000 listens and some that, you know, are in are close to that. So it just, I always try not to, but it's hard not to compare this podcast or what I do to what others. And I say, well, I've been doing this for 10 years and they've only done it for 5 years and look where they are and stuff. But, you know, go ahead.
If I can interject. I mean, your show is, especially in the early days, was kind of focused around Stride Wrestling, which was a local independent, you know, that didn't have mass distribution. And so I think, you know, that may hinder listenership a little bit, because if you're not from the area, if you're not familiar, you know, that might just be my vantage points on podcasts. Like observe, or if I can't take part in something, then I don't want to hear what I'm missing out on, sort of thing.
Right.
I just don't, you know, I don't get any references that are being made, or, you know, like if I'm sure in the past we've talked about Gaylord and people in the area know Gaylord, people not in the area, no clue. And so it's like, and I know I am very guilty of doing inside jokes, you know, and that are only meant to serve and amuse myself, but it's not really good for the larger audience.
Well, you know, when I did this as well, in those early days, it was trying to kind of figure out, you know, I knew I wanted to do it, but how are we going to execute this? If you would have stayed in the area, I envisioned that we would have probably done this on a weekly basis in person together, you know, even during the COVID times. And we would have, you know, the room I'm in now, it's one of our spare bedrooms. You know, when all the kids start leaving the nest, you start turning rooms into spare bedrooms. And then I've kind of sneaked into a little studio here. But because for a long time, I would go into our closet and record that way. But probably, you know, I had reached out because I'm like, am I going to have wrestlers? Like you said, a lot of Stride talk and from the past. But then I wanted to reach out. And I didn't want it to just be interview shows either. But, you know, I reached out to Terry Runnels, for example, who was the guest on the 1 year anniversary of the podcast. And that was just a kind of an organic find. And my biggest claim to fame and my proudest is probably the Rob Van Dam episode 420. I had worked a year on getting him on that. And I mean, we were down to weeks before, and he finally committed and said that he would do it. And I can remember texting you and calling you and being like, I screwed up the time thing, I think, because of the Pacific time zone. And you, of course, busted my balls over that. But, you know, that was another one of those things. And he actually offered to do it on Zoom. And that's actually what kind of introduced me to recording these on Zoom and then posting the videos as well. So some of them, a lot of them are just audio. The first probably 400 plus are just audio, but you know, it's a labor of love. Again, no monetization, no sponsors, none of that. It's just something I like doing. I've gotten into this routine and done it for 500 episodes. The most challenging one, obviously, the weekend that my mom died a year ago or so. She died on a Friday morning, and Sunday afternoon I recorded, and I did it, one, because I didn't want to break the streak, so to speak, but also to just occupy my time and my thoughts with something. And she was, like I titled that episode, my biggest fan. She was my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. Now, did she listen to the podcast? No, because I don't know that she would have known how to listen to a podcast. But if I needed something or wanted something wrestling related as a kid or even as an adult, she made those WrestleMania jackets and she spent time doing those kinds of things. So that was important to me to get on and to move forward and not wallow and keep moving forward. But, you know, I can't thank Greg enough for inviting me to be here. I can't thank you enough. This all, the concept of My 123 Cents started back after when we worked together for about 3 years before you moved to Los Angeles. But then after you moved, you, me, and our buddy Travis Yates would email each other wrestling. This was even before Facebook. We were emailing each other different ideas and talking about stuff. And it kind of then evolved it into the blog, and you guys would write guest blog spots and we would post those and then Facebook and YouTube and now the podcast and Travis has been on, you've been on, but you know, you've been by far the biggest supporter of the cause and sending another box. And I actually didn't bring it in here with me, but another box of swag and prizes that we will give away. If you leave a review of the podcast and screenshot it and send it, you are going to win something out of this latest prize package, prize vault, if you will. And you know, your I don't want to say your trash because it's all new stuff, but your stuff that you're not using from the wrestle crates becomes someone else's treasure that people enjoy winning and receiving. And I enjoy giving it out. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I enjoy you taking it off my hands too, because like I said, I mainly do the wrestling crate for the micro. I've gotten addicted to collecting the micro brawlers, and it's cheaper to buy a crate than to buy the and have the micro brawlers plus one or two other things I might keep than it is just to buy the micro brawlers themselves. Oh, wow. So, obviously, if I'm just buying the brawler, it's cheaper. But overall, you know, if we wanted to start actually buying stuff to give out, this is the cheapest way that. Until we get that sponsorship deal where people send us swag to give out. But it's been great. You know, I know earlier I was talking about the Podzilla guys and being dorks and nerds, and that's all good fun because as you just kind of ran down, we are giant dorks and nerds ourselves. Yes. And this is great because moving to LA, I don't have anybody else out here that I can talk wrestling with on a daily basis. I mentioned my girlfriend to go with me to Double or Nothing. Not that she was eager to want to go, but she's just like, okay, fine. We're in Vegas. I'll go. No one knows me there. Why are we on camera? I don't want anyone to see this later. So, it's just great. And it's, I don't know, you know, for me, I guess, you know, you and I have talked about having this sickness. We've been wrestling fans for 40 plus years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't get into other sports the way that I've gotten into wrestling. I don't know. Maybe it's because wrestling is only, you know, one day a week as opposed to 6-7 games a week. I understand there actually are 6 days of wrestling if you want to watch, but this different company, you know, if you're not following every company, if you're not whatever. It's fun to, when I went into college, I got out of wrestling a little bit because I didn't have cable. So mentioned before that I didn't even know Monday Night Raw was a thing until I got home from college and then tuned in to see the 1-2-3 or the kid upset Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon. And so that kind of brought me back into wrestling. And then when the advent of the internet came around, and then I discovered ECW, and you get in the backstage notes. And I think the backstage, you know, over the last 20 years, the backstage drama has kind of at times been more entertaining than the on-screen drama. And so getting a chance to talk this and, you know, talk it without, and I'm sure to other people we do, but without trying to sound like the people that know what they're talking about.
Right.
You know, it's like, try to acknowledge like, hey, we don't know anybody.
Right.
You know, or we do know people, but they're not feeding us information it's like, we're just two fans. And I, you know, think probably one of our hindrances to growing the brand, as you said, is by watching these other YouTubers and stuff, is we are not, we are no Mojo Rawleys.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. I gotcha.
I mean, we need to get hyped. We don't stay hyped.
We don't stay hyped, yes.
Yes. Whereas, and that's, you know, we've talked about like other people we watch and listen to, like, is that their natural personality or is it an act that they do for, you know, just to try to get viewership? And I don't, but I you know, I would say that this is a more authentic show. And,
Yeah, I mean, there are ways, you know, there are little tricks that people use, I think, that try to incite. And like you said, political theater earlier, you know, it's the same kind of thing where they will post a picture of, I love it now on TikTok, where they'll post like then and now celebrity pictures, for example. And it's not necessarily wrestling related, but they'll post a picture of the cast from the Addams Family. And it's the picture of the little girl. And then the picture of her as an adult is someone that's completely not her. And they do that. So then people say, that's not the girl that played Wednesday. That's so-and-so, you know? And I think people do that intentionally with just the sole purpose of getting people to engage with their content. So,
yeah. A term that I learned a couple weeks ago is engagement farming, where it's you just, you know, post something trying to get, instead of just having natural discussion, it's something that, you know, people will react to. So that you can get, but odd fact, you brought up the Addams Family. Do you know who the only living survivor of the Addams Family TV show is?
John Astin.
Very good. Yes. Wednesday and Pugsley have both passed away.
I didn't realize, and I looked that up not too very long ago, because they both just died in the last few years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause I wasn't sure about that, but yeah, that is, you know, a morbid little fun fact, but with wrestling, you know, back to wrestling over the last 10 years, you know, sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same, because Cody's back in WWE and CM Punk is back in WWE. Vince McMahon is out of his own company. And they were posting stuff the other day on social media about, you know, Vince McMahon's not allowed at it's not Titan Tower anymore, whatever it's called now. And I'm like, well, no crap. You know, why would you think he is? He's under investigation and all this other stuff. So I wasn't surprised by that. But, you know, it is kind of surreal, even, you know, after the initial retirement 2 years ago and now where we are today, that he is seemingly gone from the company. Now, there's been speculation, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but do you think we ever see him back? Have we talked about this on camera before? I don't know if we...
I don't think so.
Speculation is, you know, he's hired this big PR company. It's $11,000 an hour. You know, someone that is planning to just retire and fade away wouldn't be doing that. So he's got to have some other sort of ulterior motive. And there is speculation that he... I saw something over the weekend that he bought AEW. And that the cons were handing it over later in the day, and all, you know, so it's all those crap articles that, you know, aren't true. But anyway, do you think we ever see Vince McMahon in the wrestling space again? I know he's 77 years old, so he's, you know, of course his mother lived to be 100, so you never know.
I mean, he could still run for president.
Yeah,
he's still young enough. I again, never say never, but I don't think so. I think, given the allegations against him and the apparent way that that investigation is going now, with potentially the federal government getting involved, I just think it would be too, what's the word? I just can't see any company wanting to take the risk of having him on, you know, affiliated with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and say what you want about Vince, this would be a sad way for him to go out, because if it wasn't for him, wrestling would not be what it is today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the allegations are true, you know, you make your own bed, you got to lie in it. So,
Yeah, and do you think, you know, you said it, and I think there are other fans that 100% agree. Say WrestleMania bombs. The first WrestleMania is a failure, and Vince forecloses on the house, and they lose everything, and WWF becomes a territory again, where it's the New York area. Yeah. You know, because when I was growing up, I said last week on the podcast, it was wrestling at the Chase that we watched in St. Louis, you know, that mm-hmm. we had access to that. And then it was a couple of years later that more syndicated shows started. But, you know, I wonder what would have happened if WrestleMania didn't succeed, or if Vince McMahon didn't succeed, and would companies like the AWA and WCW still be around, or would wrestling itself have died out? And I think the good thing about the WWF or WWE is it constantly evolved, and it got into that pop culture spotlight and became, you know, the wrestlers became celebrities. And I don't know that would have happened without a visionary like Vince McMahon. And again, this is not the Below Vince McMahon podcast, but it's it is, you know, I don't know that we would be sitting here. I don't know that, you know, 20 years ago when I walked into that newsroom, you know, Star Wars, we would have connected over, or, you know, 80s pop culture stuff. But I don't, you know, that wrestling thing was like an instant hit for us.
Well, it's interesting, and I will say this because, you know, to tie it into modern wrestling again, in another way, is, again, if you go on social media right now, there's a lot of talk, you know, about the crowds at an AEW show and, you know, how terrible they are. And, you know, it's just, again, something I don't understand. And even as a cynical misanthrope, I don't understand the joy of negative reporting. And,
and why are you going to these shows and videoing it and putting it up? You're paying to be there. Yeah. Why would you crap on it? I agree with you on that. Yes.
But here's a little secret that I'm going to let you in on. Wrestling isn't a draw. And I mean that not insultingly.
Right.
I mean that, look at all the independent companies.
Yeah.
How many of them on a regular basis draw more than 100 fans?
Right.
Outside of your super indies.
Yeah.
And what do they all have? The super indies all have one thing in common, and they're using big name stars. What it is it's the entertainment factor that WWE cultivated and marketed and manufactured. And that, you know, look at, you know, this past WrestleMania, you take the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes match, and you take Bryan Danielson versus MJF from whatever AEW pay-per-view they wrestle on. Judging based solely on mat technicalities, I'm going to say MJF and Bryan Danielson put on the better show.
Sure.
But when it comes to WrestleMania, WWE put on the show. And it was a year, you know, a three-year-long storyline coming to fruition, and that's what is drawing people. And I mean, I just saw before we started recording that ratings for Raw were at the lowest since January, and ratings since WrestleMania have been, you know, trending downward. They're still doing well. I'm not saying, you know, sky's falling, but they're not doing, because that story that had been told is over, and now it's, you've got to build that next story up. You can't just go out and throw out wrestling and have it be there. And, you know, and I'll, this is something I, you know, want to talk about, and I'll segue here. Cody Rhodes leaves and comes back. And I've talked about on the show before how I didn't buy into the Cody Rhodes becoming champion storyline, because Cody hadn't done anything since returning to WWE except for beat Seth Rollins 3 times.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns gets beat at WrestleMania. He's gone. We haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
The crowd is now chanting, "We want Roman," during when the bloodline is out there.
Yeah.
Hasn't done anything, hasn't changed anything. Why are they chanting? You know, why? Because it's the story. No one wants to actually sit through another Roman Reigns match with his 3 moves that he spams to death. But you want that character to come in and see where that next story goes.
Yeah. It's going to be.
But I will still take AEW over WWE as my company of choice at this moment.
And see, this is the thing, folks. I'm not going to cancel Chad. I'm not going to ignore him, and I'm not going to
because for me, it's the wrestling. It's the technical aspect more than the story, because I find the story to be repetitive at times.
Yeah. No, and I agree. I agree. And again, I don't watch every week. Again, I am consuming most of my wrestling now through social media clips. And so I do watch SmackDown now. We have an antenna and Fox comes in, but it's going to be just in time for them to jump to USA. But, you know, obviously, as we've gotten older, our fandom has changed. Our priorities have changed. Our lives have changed. You know, I can't sit here. And we've joked about this before. I can't sit here and recite the last three pay-per-views that WWE has done, but I could still sit here and tell you probably close to, if not in order, the first WrestleMania, you know? And so it's part of your childhood. You get into it and it's hard to shake it, but I agree. I do watch AEW from time to time. I do watch the clips obviously on social media, but if I am able to pick it up somewhere, I will watch it. And you know, I like to bust Chad's balls about it mostly, and I'm not, you know, hypercritical of it, but it's fun. And doing this podcast is fun, and talking to Chad about wrestling and obviously life and other things. Yeah. That's the other thing too, is, you know, you make connections with friends, and I'll throw it back to Strike Pro Wrestling. You know, Tyler and I still talk and we talk about things outside of wrestling, but pretty much everyone else, it was that wrestling connection. And when you're not there anymore, you fall off and you stop communicating. You know, there's the surface conversations, but, you know, I'm thankful for wrestling kind of starting our friendship. But, you know, for the last 20 years, we've been able to carry that on and continue on. And I think if we both turned off wrestling tomorrow, we would still have stuff to talk about, things to talk about, and whatnot. So I'm appreciative and grateful for that as well. So thank you, as the Golden Girls would say, thank you for being a friend. So.
You beat me to it. I'm going to go there, but yes. And your love of Golden Girls, I think, has also fueled me for trying to find the most kitschy thing that I can ever find to send you wrestling-wise.
It's all in good fun, but anything else, Chad, you want to add before we wrap up episode 500 here?
You know, I think said it a few weeks ago. I'm just going to restate it. It's just, there's so much wrestling out there. Watch what you want to watch. Ignore what you don't want to watch. Let other people enjoy what they want to enjoy, you know? And again, it's not that you can't have discussion. You can't point out,
right,
you know, the negative aspect of, you know, like when you and I talk, and I can say, like, look, I can understand why, again, going back to what I was just saying, I understand why fans get into the storyline of WWE. But there are issues that I have with the week-to-week program that make me not need to watch.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, same thing with AEW right now. I'm like getting to the point where I'm like, yeah, it's good wrestling, but they need to step it up and figure out something to keep the viewer to come back. Because again, as I just said, wrestling's not going to be the draw. You got to, you know, find something. So, but in that saying, you know, I'm going back to when I was doing podcasts, one thing's just, we have to figure out how to talk to each other in civilized manner and understand that we don't have to agree 100%. But we can still all agree that R. Kelly was probably guilty. I was trying to think of something really good in there, but that we could all agree on.
Well said. Well said, my friend. And
real quick, I'll just say my good AEW buddy that I met at a show and saw him at the first taping of Collision as well, Paul Walter Hauser. If you're not watching everything that he does, you need to. He's probably the best actor going today. And he's also wrestling now. And there's talks that he may be doing something with your boy Riddle soon. So.
Oh, okay. All right, bro. We'll have to check that out. As much as I wanted to go 500 minutes on episode 500, it's just
this isn't a Conrad podcast.
It's not a Conrad podcast. It's not a best of. But again, 500 episodes. Thank you to those who have listened. I know some of you have listened to every single one, and I am grateful for that. Let's see what happens at for the next 500. If we're going to keep moving forward, Chad will be a frequent guest for sure. Again, I appreciate it. If you have comments or critiques, criticisms, things you want to see and hear on the podcast, let me know. Send a message through social media. And again, don't forget to leave a review and enter to win a My 1-2-3 Cents prize. Friends, thank you so much for listening and or watching. Have a great week, and we will talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.